Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
All right, we're back with Wesley Coleman and Heath Elson-San. I'm Dave Romero. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Let's talk more about the playoffs and the situation there. You know, Heath, earlier you were mentioning, I don't know if the 49ers are actually still in it, but they're still playing strong, which they could play spoilers. And what's ironic about it is, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, just because a guy puts on a uniform, you know, he's not the same player. So the whole next man up thing has never really resonated with me. But I will say this, the 49ers are a Super Bowl roster. Just because you lose your superstars, if you fall apart because of that, then you really weren't that great of a team to begin with. And the 49ers have a good team. They don't have their starting quarterback, which you can argue was their starting quarterback ever a big cog in that team anyway. So they have a good offensive line. They have a good defense. They have a good defensive line. They lost that impact player in Bosa. So the only reason I'm talking about them really is just to point out that they're still a good team and they can beat you. They just, they need some help. They have to have somebody make a few mistakes. Speaking of that, one of the teams that I was most worried about is the Rams, because again, the Saints with their issues with the interior pass rush. Now all of a sudden you have the Rams who have a good interior pass rush, but that kind of my stress was alleviated a bit yesterday when they lost to the Rams. Wesley, what do you make of it?
Man, how the Rams could lose that game and why the Jets would win that game makes absolutely no sense. It's looking like now that the Jets are going to have the number two pick now, which is just is absolutely insane that they would win that game, but one that they did. I'm not a Jared Goff apologist at all. Like, I think he got exposed after his first year. He had all that, you know, when it came out, people were saying that it was pretty obvious McVay was making the reads for him and all, and they were getting up to the line real fast. And the defense just started messing around with that by standing around and moving their guys around. And I'm not sure if Jared Goff is, for what is a great offensive roster and even a pretty good defensive roster on the Rams, Jared Goff is not the gas pedal that can make that go.
Yeah, I'm significantly less concerned about them as I was. But having said that, look, we lost to the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, Heath. Now, having said that, we didn't have our starting quarterback. We had some injuries. As much as we want to say, you come out there and it looks like Hurts, I don't want to crown him as a great quarterback, but the point is it looks like he's not a bad quarterback. And when you have no film and you don't really know what to expect, you don't necessarily come in with the right game plan and they get a cut, they score on you, and then you don't have the offensive firepower because you have your backup quarterback to get back into the game. But the Rams lose, and I kind of went off on a tangent there, but now you have the Rams, you have, the Cardinals, and you also have Seattle. Who would you most like to see in the first round of the playoffs if you had a choice, Heath?
Out of those three teams right now?
Yes, sir. Looks like they're the most likely.
I mean, the way they all look right now, I'd probably rather play the Rams. That said, we have a little bit of a history with the Rams that, you know, kind of gives me that little bit of pause in the background and think, well, you know, we've been able to handle Seattle. Maybe I'd rather play Seattle. I don't know. I think the Rams, to me, the Rams were surprising up until this point that they, because they got gutted with free agency and stuff. I really didn't expect the Rams to actually be as good as they had been.
Agreed.
And so I really just think the Rams are kind of going back, getting back to what I thought they were going to be. I agree with Wesley. I'm not sold on Jared Goff. And, I think McVay's a hell of a coach, and I think that's the only reason why the Rams are where they are right now. Arizona's the one that scares me just because of Murray. We have trouble with that kind of quarterback. And if Jalen Hurts can hurt you with his legs and all, Murray could really hurt you. The problem with Arizona is they've just been up and down, right? Which is, it's kind of unexpected. I mean, he's a young quarterback, and there's going to be some inconsistency there. But, man, they're scary if they're on,
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Heath, what's scary is that when the Saints are winning, you're like, I'm not worried about any of those guys. You lose two games in a row, and all of a sudden, everybody's scary, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Hurts may turn out to be better than we would have expected. It's not that I didn't think Hurts is, I saw what he did in college. I mean, the dude's obviously got some ability. I didn't expect him to do it in his first start necessarily, and especially against the Saints defense. And the rest of the Eagles team, when you look at everything, they've seriously depleted. But I think it's part him, and I also think with the Saints, it was game planning, right? Not expecting him necessarily. It was the fact that he actually played well, and I also think the team was invigorated, right? They've been getting beat for a while. You can see that the team was excited to have a change, and I think that the team played above their head as well. And I think all of that added together is kind of what happened.
Absolutely.
And then we didn't have a great game. Taysom Hill didn't have a great game. So, I don't know.
Has he ever?
He's opening up Pandora's box here. And so there's something else too, Wesley, speaking of that, Jameis Winston goes on the COVID-19 reserve list Sunday morning, puts the Saints. Imagine if they'd have said, look, let's take one more week. That would have been an interesting situation.
Yeah. Going into depending on if, I don't think we've heard yet if he showed any symptoms. If he didn't show any symptoms, then he will be back on the roster for maybe Friday. But if he showed symptoms, he's definitely not going to be on the roster for Friday. So that kind of factors in too. I was surprised by how often we tried to use Taysom Hill. I mean, he was out there even on the special teams play. I really worried that they were going to back off from him at the last minute when all that happened with Winston. But, and Breeze took a few shots. He seemed to take it well. I guess one thing we didn't talk about was how Breeze, did say afterwards that he admitted that he was definitely less than 100%. He was in pain the whole game, but he didn't sound like he was at all like regretting that he played. He's like, yeah, I'm just working through it.
Is it unfair to say maybe it's just my expectations? I never went into this game expecting to win it. Now, had we had a healthy team and everything ready to go, yes, I think I feel like I'd have gone into the game ready to win if Breeze had never gotten hurt, if Michael Thomas was healthy. But going into the game, I didn't really expect to win the game. And I guess part of it, too, is that I didn't expect Breeze to be starting anyway. But based on the circumstances, I'm not extremely disappointed. Maybe that's why I'm not so upset with the – because I do trust the offense to get back, get theirself together. But they need to do it. So let's talk a little bit, Heath, about the next two games, okay? So we have the Vikings on Christmas Day on a short week. Then we have Carolina to close the season out. Tampa Bay is on our heels, and if we only need to win one more to win the division. But, man, the second seed is not locked up.
No. These two losses, we've let Tampa come back to it, fell back to the field, I guess what I'm trying to say. we have a team next week. First of all, dome sweet dome don't mean nothing right now. Playing a Superdome means absolutely nothing. So, and we got a team next week that we have a horrible history with over the last few games in Minnesota, right? Just the bugaboo with that team as far as some of the stuff we've had with them. So, I think the Saints are a better team. I don't think Minnesota's necessarily a good, but I think the Saints were the better team the last two times we lost to them.
Right.
And so, that's the only thing with that. It's a little bit of superstition there or whatever, I guess, if you want to. But it makes me queasy to have to play the Vikings.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because the thing about it is the Saints aren't the Saints right now. because we're going to have to rely on our defense, which means that the game will not be out of hand. Chances of us having a nice lead is going to be pretty slim. We're not going into this thing where we're going to score a bunch of points until we get some players back healthy. So we better hope that the defense – now, I'll say this too, Heath, the special teams showed up. Now, I don't know where to go. Our coverage units did. Man, Morstead is just not the same punter anymore. I mean, at first it was like, oh, he just had a bad game. Now it's pretty evident that there's a reason why the Saints kept two punters on the roster.
Yeah, when you consider his performance this year and what he makes, I think he's very good chance that he's a cap casualty next year.
He's not getting paid $4.5 million next year to be an average.
No, he can't. Especially if the cap is going to be cut any amount at all, then you definitely can't. But, look, I mean, the special teams are historically a strength of this team. And so, man, I tell you what, there was one play. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but
the JT Gray tackle was amazing.
He stuck with that play and chased that guy sideways after being held and everything. That just shows you why that guy – for years, we wondered, how does JT Gray keep staying on a roster until it became so obvious now that between him and Hardy, those guys are just the first two guys on the scene every time without fail. And thank God. I mean, and they've been a big difference in the, you know, between them and then the other side with Lutz, right? That was a huge turnaround after struggling in special teams for the Saints for a long time. Go ahead, Wesley.
People lost their mind when we cut Boston Scott to keep JT Gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him to the practice squad. Like, people lost their mind of what are we doing? And then, now, I mean, Boston Scott's going on been a pretty decent running back in Philadelphia. But, I mean, JT Gray has made great plays over the past three seasons. It's been watching him. And then, I mean, the way Hardy plays on the other, those two guys are unblockable by whoever's over there on special teams on either side. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, JT Gray has been not just Hardy and JT Gray. With those two guys on the field, your coverage units are in good hands, difference makers. Maybe not such great hands if you're talking about Alex Anzalone. He's caught a lot of crap for an opportunity to fall on the ball. I personally – listen, of course, I'm disappointed, but – listen, it is not easy to do that. And when you're running as fast as that guy is and the rest of it, you know, I'm trying to cut him some slack.
Listen, it is never as simple as going, we lost by three, that's a 4-point swing.
Absolutely. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know you're not saying that. But we lost by three and that's a 4-point swing. I mean.
Not saying, just saying.
I know the entire game plays out differently if those scores, just like when you kick one versus kicking, going for two. I mean, everything, the whole rest of the game after that plays out differently.
Heath, you've been working out, dieting, you lost some weight. Do you think you could have got that ball?
No, I'm not even going to try to act like I could, you know. Every play I watch, I think, God, I'd be dead on that play. Like, I would never get back up again.
So I think any armchair athlete, they just don't have an appreciation. Because one of the things I'll say, and this is somewhat different, but, you know, like whenever you're running down the field, you have pads, shoulder pads on, you have a helmet, face mask, and you're running 4-3, and your head's doing like this, and here comes the ball over your shoulder. To think that, oh, man, why didn't he catch that ball? Well, you know, yeah, because he's a professional athlete. Same thing goes on that play. Yes, me and you could have fun. I have every confidence that if I'd have rolled that ball out there, Heath, that you'd have ran over there running about a 7 flat 40, fell on it, and you'd have had it no problem. But when you cut that 7 flat down to like 4-7, it you know, like there's a lot of moving parts
out of
there.
Control.
Somebody
hitting you from behind.
Right.
Well, are they going to get the ball before me? And, oh, my God, I'm scoring a touchdown.
Right. All those things are a factor.
That, you got a guy who lost his job to Alexander, and I'm sure he's eager to do anything, right? So the adrenaline was pumping even harder when he had a chance to make that play. And,
we gather that, like, you couldn't sub in for Anzalone and fall on the ball, but could you stand on the edge of the end zone and watch somebody run into the end zone and know it was a touchdown? If you missed it on replay and say it was a touchdown after, New York can ask Keith, could you do that?
Well, look, first of all, I'm very adept at falling. Okay. So that part, and you'd have had an even better chance if you rolled a meatball out there. But besides for that, I definitely could have stood on the sideline and told him that was a freaking touchdown.
What in the world is going on with these?
I
don't want to be the Saints guy saying these referees, but man, these referees.
And you know what? And it's not just the Saints, man. It was more egregious than the game that I watched before it in Tampa and Atlanta.
Yep.
There was a couple of plays in that calls in that game that I still can't, including the final. What wound up being the end of the game, not that it would have necessarily mattered. I certainly wasn't expecting Atlanta to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. The bottom line is that there's no way in hell the guy picked up the first down there. I mean, it just the announcers knew it.
Yeah.
Blandino knew it. Everybody watching the game outside of Tampa fans knew it. And yet, you know, I don't
know. But you know what? I get that you can't throw a punch in an NFL game, but how do you – with 1 second, watch a guy get his jersey almost ripped off of his body, and you don't see that, you don't throw a flag, and then you look up as the guy hit. And again, from the replay from the back, the guy turned his head like he got hit in the face. From the other angle, it looked like Cam hit him in the shoulder slash chest area.
Yeah,
and
that was hand fight, man.
But what? I mean, Cam's his jersey's getting ripped off of his body.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And just for a minute, I hate to go back to the other game.
But yeah, y'all don't want to be that guy, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I'll get started. Now, look, the play where the guy got blocked in the back on a punt into, I think it was, yeah, it was a Falcon.
Yes, I remember that play.
Yeah.
He gets blocked in the back. He's stumbling forward and hits the guy with the top of his helmet because he's falling. All right, they even call a penalty on the Tampa player for blocking him in the back and then turn around and give the guy a penalty for hitting him with his helmet. There was nothing else the guy could do. I mean, it's like, you know, if you get blocked into the kicker, they don't throw the flag. So why are they throwing the flag? You just got blocked in the – I don't know. I can't with the officials anymore, man.
Well, the irony in that, Heath, is that you're right. If you get blocked into the kicker – or in other situations where you're blocked, it's generally kind of like, hey, no holds bar after that. It's not your fault. And that particular situation was, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the thing about it is, you know, like in most conspiracy theories, you know, the whole conspiracy includes a bunch of other people. But like back to that Tampa Bay first down thing, they show the video of the referee like literally sliding the ball like 6 or 8 inches forward. And even the announcer's like, look right there, right? Look what he's doing. And they're just like, a mafia style. I don't care if you see me. You didn't see what you just saw. They just do it anyway.
Even with moving the ball, when they showed the shot of the chains, it looked like it was half inch short anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the announcer goes, I guess that yellow line's not really isn't accurate.
Right.
So he even says it afterward.
The chain gang, apparently.
Now the thing about
official.
It is,
he goes, we just talk about that yellow line really isn't official.
But you know, the yellow line's not official. But let me ask you guys this: have you ever seen it be inaccurate?
No, the never. Yellow line was exactly in the right spot. You could tell by the number, the zero on the yard line. Like, there was no way he got anywhere near. It was at least a half a yard short, you know. And it's like, for God's sake, man. I mean, yeah. But if you're making a bang-bang call in the old days before replay and all, you go, you know, you're not going to get them all right, okay? Nobody likes it, but nobody's perfect and all. But you have the opportunity to watch it from multiple angles in super slow-mo. And you're talking with somebody else in the headquarters that's looking at it and everything, and you still get it wrong. And it's like, this just can't happen in an enterprise like the NFL, man. This ain't peewee football. This is billions upon billions upon billions of dollars.
Like, I feel like this is digressed into a bitch session, but what about Drew Brees drops back to pass, Cooks goes, runs, and stops his route, and Brees throws the ball downfield, gets called for intentional grounding. Listen, as I was watching the game again this morning, I didn't even remember this, but there was a play where Henderson drove his man right into Mahomes, and Mahomes launches it downfield. Nobody anywhere, even in the screen, nothing. And that's the part that drives me crazy, is that when you get called for the exact same thing the other team didn't get called for, it's hard to deal with. And
then the other side of it, which drives me just as insane, is missing throwing a flag. We get third down. One of our receivers gets wiped out by a safety. They throw the flag, and then they come back. There's no penalty for that.
Why is
there a yellow flag on the field? If there's no penalty, I mean, they didn't even group together. They just, like, just changed their mind.
Yeah. Yes, that is here's the irony in it. Let's see if I have it here. Let's see if I can get this. I don't know if you could hear that, but as I listen, I don't feel like I have all the equipment to do the very best high tech capture of video, and yet I use my phone on my iPad. But when that guy did it, I'm like, that's going to be my new meme, is just the referee walking up. There is no penalty for pass interference. Fourth down. Yeah. So yes, very aware of that. All right. Before we start talking about our families and problems with our relationships, let's close it out here. Heath, I'll start with you. Kind of give me a big picture, you know, spend a minute giving a big picture where we're at. We have two games left. We're a little banged up. You know, we're trying to manage this roster into the playoffs. What are you thinking about everything right now?
I think you pretty well just summed it up.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Oh, I'm sorry, guy.
No, I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, we got a bad taste in our mouth right now, right? We have two losses in a row. And to some extent, both of them, you know, they were ugly, right? In one way or another. And I think next week, you know, look, I hate Minnesota but I think the Saints will play a lot better next week. Drew Brees will have a whole nother week of practice. They were just out of sync. He was, between the fact that he hasn't been playing and the fact that he had a bunch of guys on the field that he's not normally throwing to on a regular basis anyway, there was some timing and sync issues going on yesterday, some rust on Brees. I think he'll, you know, on the flip side, the positive is the defense got to be feeling really good about themselves, right? I mean, they pulled it back together. They're going to go into the game with some momentum. I think the offense will play better. We should be able to beat both Minnesota and Carolina. Carolina is not a very good team at all. In fact, I see now they're mocking the BYU quarterback to Carolina to replace Teddy Bridgewater already, all the experts. But, you know, we should be able to win both of those games and hold on to where we are and get into the playoffs and then get our guys back, man. We get, you know, we missing, you know, Thomas, you know, Harris, he's important, man. He makes a big difference on special teams, you know. And he was starting to really become an integral part of the offense with a few things that he could do on offense that I was excited about. So it's not just Thomas. Some other people we need to get back. I was encouraged yesterday to see Rankins play really well.
Yes.
You know, he was another guy with the injuries and just kind of not, you know, he popped a lot yesterday, and that was good to see. Just really, I'm excited about the rotation that we have on the defensive line, man. I mean, we got a bunch of really good players on the defensive line. And they should be able to keep us in just about anything just by the fact that we can rotate. I mean, when you can rotate guys in and keep fresh legs on a defensive line like you do with running backs and all, that's a hell of a position to be in on it, you know. And we can do that. Granderson, man, Granderson's progression is looking really good. He did a hell of a job taking over for Cam Jordan yesterday primarily. So I don't know, man. As bad as it's looked over the last couple of weeks, there's a lot to be positive about with this team. They are a really good team. We just don't have all of the pieces together right now. And it always sucks when you got everybody talking, boy, the Saints are gelling at the right time of the year. This is the best team in the NFL. And then you have two stinkers like Philadelphia and yesterday. And then all of a sudden, you know, like you said, everybody's off the bandwagon. We feeling bad. The experts have done forgot about the Saints already. And they'll get it back together, you know.
You know what? Maybe this is a good thing. Last year we went into the playoffs thinking that we were – right now we're – you know, hey, here's that crisis that Coach Payton's always talking about. And one thing before I go to Wesley with the same question is I think any other team that's not Mahomes with all those playmakers on offense, we probably forced a couple of – if not – two or three turnovers yesterday if we were playing an average quarterback, like, you know, like the kid in Minnesota or the kid in Bridgewater, you know, I think that we will find some short fields here in the next 2 weeks. While I'm a little concerned about our offense till we get healthy, I do believe that that defense would have been good for a couple of turnovers yesterday, the way they were swarming the ball, the way that the defensive line was getting after the quarterback. Same question to you, Wesley. Give me kind of your state of the union right now going into the last 2 weeks of the season.
So I preface this by saying I take for granted that we're going to win at least one of the last two games of the season just by being way more talented than both the teams.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
All right, we're back with Wesley Coleman and Heath Elson-San. I'm Dave Romero. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Let's talk more about the playoffs and the situation there. You know, Heath, earlier you were mentioning, I don't know if the 49ers are actually still in it, but they're still playing strong, which they could play spoilers. And what's ironic about it is, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, just because a guy puts on a uniform, you know, he's not the same player, so the whole next man up thing has never really resonated with me. But I will say this, the 49ers are a Super Bowl roster. Just because you lose your superstars, if you fall apart because of that, then you really weren't that great of a team to begin with. And the 49ers have a good team. They don't have their starting quarterback, which you can argue was their starting quarterback ever a big cog in that team anyway. So they have a good offensive line. They have a good defense. They have a good defensive line. They lost that impact player in Bosa. So the only reason I'm talking about them really is just to point out that they're still a good team and they can beat you. They just they need some help. They have to have somebody make a few mistakes. Speaking of that, one of the teams that I was most worried about is the Rams, because, again, the Saints with their issues with the interior pass rush. Now, all of a sudden, you have the Rams, who have a good interior pass rush. But that kind of – my stress was alleviated a bit yesterday when they lost to the Rams. Wesley, what do you make of it?
Man, how the Rams could lose that game and why the Jets would win that game makes absolutely no sense. It's looking like now that the Jets are going to have the number two pick now, which is just – is absolutely insane that they would win that game, but – one that they did. I'm not a Jared Goff apologist at all. Like, I think he got exposed after his first year. He had all that, you know, when it came out, people were saying that it was pretty obvious McVay was making the reads for him and all, and they were getting up to the line real fast. And the defense just started messing around with that by standing around and moving their guys around. And I'm not sure if Jared Goff is for what is a great offensive roster and even a pretty good defensive roster on the Rams. Jared Goff is not the gas pedal that can make that go.
Yeah. I'm significantly less concerned about them as I was, but having said that, look, we lost to the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, Heath. Now, having said that, we didn't have our starting quarterback. We had some injuries. As much as we want to say, you come out there and it looks like Hurts, I don't want to crown him as a great quarterback, but the point is, it looks like he's not a bad quarterback. And when you have no film and you don't really know what to expect, you don't necessarily come in with the right game plan and they get a cut, they score on you. And then you don't have the offensive firepower because you have your backup quarterback to get back into the game. But the Rams lose, and I kind of went off on a tangent there, but now you have the Rams, you have, let's see, the Cardinals, and you also have Seattle. Who would you most like to see in the first round of the playoffs if you had a choice, Heath?
Out of those three teams right now?
Yes, sir. Looks like they're the most likely.
I mean, the way they all look right now, I'd probably rather play the Rams. That said, we have a little bit of a history with the Rams that, you know, kind of gives me that little bit of pause in the background and think, well, you know, we've been able to handle Seattle. Maybe I'd rather play Seattle. I don't know. I think the Rams, to me, the Rams were surprising up until this point that they, because they got gutted with free agency and stuff. I really didn't expect the Rams to actually be as good as they had been.
Agreed.
And so I really just think the Rams are kind of going back, getting back to what I thought they were going to be. I agree with Wesley. I'm not sold on Jared Goff. And I think McVay's a hell of a coach, and I think that's the only reason why the Rams are where they are right now. Arizona's the one that scares me just because of Murray. We have trouble with that kind of quarterback. And if Jalen Hurts can hurt you with his legs and all, Murray could really hurt you. The problem with Arizona is they've just been up and down, right? Which is, you know, it's kind of unexpected. I mean, he's a young quarterback, and there's going to be some inconsistency there. But, man, they're scary if they're on, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Heath, what's scary is that when the Saints are winning, you're like, I'm not worried about any of those guys. You lose two games in a row, and all of a sudden, everybody's scary, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Hurts may turn out to be better than we would have expected. It's not that I didn't think Hurts is, you know, well, I saw what he did in college. I mean, the dude's obviously got some ability. I didn't expect him to do it in his first start necessarily, and especially against the Saints defense. And the rest of the Eagles team, when you look at everything, you know, they've seriously depleted. But I think it's part him, and I also think with the Saints, you know, it was game planning, right? Not expecting him necessarily. It was the fact that he actually played well, and I also think the team was invigorated, right? They've been getting beat for a while. You can see that the team was excited to have a change, and I think that the team played above their head as well. And I think all of that added together is kind of what happened.
Absolutely.
And then we didn't have a great game, you know. Taysom Hill didn't have a great game. So, I don't know.
Has he ever?
he's opening up Pandora's box here. And so there's something else too, Wesley. Speaking of that, Jameis Winston goes on the COVID-19 reserve list Sunday morning, you know, puts the Saints. Imagine if they'd have said, look, let's take one more week. That would have been an interesting situation.
Yeah. I don't think we've heard yet if he showed any symptoms. If he didn't show any symptoms, then he will be back on the roster for maybe Friday. But if he showed symptoms, he's definitely not going to be on the roster for Friday. So that kind of factors in too. I was surprised by how often we tried to use Taysom Hill. I mean, he was out there even on the special teams play. I really worried that they were going to back off from him at the last minute when all that happened with Winston. But and Breeze took a few shots. He seemed to take it well. I guess one thing we didn't talk about was how Breeze, did say afterwards that he admitted that he was definitely less than 100%. He was in pain the whole game, but he didn't sound like he was at all like regretting that he played. He's like, yeah, I'm just working through it. Like,
Is it unfair to say, maybe it's just my expectations? I never went into this game expecting to win it. Now, had we had a healthy team and everything ready to go, yes, I think I feel like I'd have gone into the game ready to win if Breeze had never gotten hurt, if Michael Thomas was healthy. But going into the game, I didn't really expect to win the game. And I guess part of it, too, is that I didn't expect the Breeze to be starting anyway. But based on the circumstances, I'm not extremely disappointed. Maybe that's why I'm not so upset with the – because I do trust the offense to get back, you know, get theirself together. But they need to do it. So let's talk a little bit, Heath, about the next two games, okay? So we have the Vikings on Christmas Day on a short week. Then we have Carolina to close the season out. Tampa Bay is on our heels, and if we only need to win one more to win the division. But, man, the second seed is not locked up.
No. I mean, you know, these two losses, we've let Tampa come back to it. We fell back to the field, I guess what I'm trying to say. we have a team next week. First of all, dome sweet dome don't mean nothing right now. You know, playing a Superdome means absolutely nothing. So, you know, and we got a team next week that we have a horrible history with over the last few games in Minnesota, right? Just the bugaboo with that team as far as some of the stuff we've had with them. So, I think the Saints are a better team. I don't think Minnesota's necessarily a good, but I think the Saints were the better team the last two times we lost to them.
Right.
And so, that's the only thing with that. It's a little bit of superstition there or whatever, I guess, if you want to. But it makes me queasy to have to play the Vikings.
Well, I think go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because the thing about it is the Saints aren't the Saints right now, because we're going to have to rely on our defense, which means that the game will not be out of hand. Chances of us having a nice lead is going to be pretty slim. We're not going into this thing where we're going to score a bunch of points until we get some players back healthy. So we better hope that the defense – now, I'll say this too, Heath, the special teams showed up. Now, I don't know where to go. Our coverage units did. Man, Morstead is just not the same punter anymore. I mean, at first it was like, oh, he just had a bad game. Now it's pretty evident that there's a reason why the Saints kept two punters on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, when you consider his performance this year and what he makes, I think he's very good chance that he's a cap casualty next year.
He's not getting paid $4.5 million next year to be an average.
No, he can't. Especially if the cap is going to be cut any amount at all, you definitely can't. But, look, I mean, the special teams are historically a strength of this team. And so, man, I tell you what, there was one play. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but
the JT Gray tackle was amazing.
He stuck with that play and chased that guy sideways after being held and everything. That just shows you why that guy – for years, we wondered, how does JT Gray keep staying on a roster, until it became so obvious now that between him and Hardy, those guys are just the first two guys on the scene every time without fail. And thank God. I mean, and they've been a big difference in the, you know, between them and then the other side with Lutz, right? That was a huge turnaround after struggling in special teams for the Saints for a long time. Go ahead, Wesley.
People lost their mind when we cut Boston Scott to keep JT Gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into the practice squad. Like, people lost their mind of what are we doing? And then, now, I mean, Boston Scott's going on been a pretty decent running back in Philadelphia. But, I mean, JT Gray has made great plays over the past three seasons. It's been watching him. And then, I mean, the way Hardy plays on the other end, those two guys are unblockable by whoever's over there on special teams on either side. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, JT Gray has been not just Hardy and JT Gray. With those two guys on the field, your coverage units are in good hands, difference makers. Maybe not such great hands if you're talking about Alex Anzalone. He's caught a lot of crap for an opportunity to fall on the ball. I personally – listen, of course, I'm disappointed, but – listen, it is not easy to do that. And when you're running as fast as that guy is and the rest of it, you know, I'm trying to cut him some slack.
Listen, it is never as simple as going, we lost by three, that's a 4-point swing.
Absolutely. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know you're not saying that. But we lost by three and that's a 4-point swing. I mean.
Not saying, just saying.
I know the entire game plays out differently if those scores, just like when you kick one versus kicking, going for two. I mean, everything, the whole rest of the game after that plays out differently.
Heath, you've been working out, dieting, you lost some weight. Do you think you could have got that ball?
No, I'm not even going to try to act like I could. You know, every play I watch, I think, God, I'd be dead on that play. Like, I would never get back up again.
So I think any armchair athlete, they just don't have an appreciation. Because one of the things I'll say, and this is somewhat different, but, you know, like whenever you're running down the field, you have pads, shoulder pads on, you have a helmet, face mask, and you're running 4-3, and your head's doing like this, and here comes the ball over your shoulder. To think that, oh, man, why didn't he catch that ball? Well, you know, yeah, because he's a professional athlete. Same thing goes on that play. Yes, me and you could have fun. I have every confidence that if I'd have rolled that ball out there, Heath, that you'd have ran over there running about a 7 flat 40, fell on it, and you'd have had it no problem. But when you cut that 7 flat down to like 4-7, it you know, like there's a lot of moving parts
out of
there.
Control.
Somebody
hitting you from behind.
Right.
Well, are they going to get the ball before me? And, oh, my God, I'm scoring a touchdown.
Right. All those things are a factor.
You got a guy who lost his job to Alexander, and I'm sure he's eager to do anything, right? So the adrenaline was pumping even harder when he had a chance to make that play. And, yeah.
We gather that, like, you couldn't sub in for Anzalone and fall on the ball, but could you stand on the edge of the end zone and watch somebody run into the end zone and know it was a touchdown. If you missed it on replay and say it was a touchdown after, New York and ask Keith, could you do that?
Well, look, first of all, I'm very adept at falling. Okay. So that part, and you'd have had an even better chance if you rolled a meatball out there. But besides for that, I definitely could have stood on the sideline and told him that was a freaking touchdown.
What in the world is going on with these? I don't want to be the Saints guy saying these referees, but man, these referees.
And you know what? And it's not just the Saints, man. It was more egregious in the game that I watched before it in Tampa and Atlanta. Yep. There was a couple of plays in that calls in that game that I still can't, including the final what wound up being the end of the game. Not that it would have necessarily mattered. I certainly wasn't expecting Atlanta to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. The bottom line is that there's no way in hell the guy picked up the first down there. I mean, it just the announcers knew it.
Yeah.
Blandino knew it. Everybody watching the game outside of Tampa fans knew it. And yet, you know, I don't
know. But you know what? I get that you can't throw a punch in an NFL game, but how do you – with 1 second, watch a guy get his jersey almost ripped off of his body, and you don't see that, you don't throw a flag, and then you look up as the guy hit. And again, from the replay from the back, the guy turned his head like he got hit in the face. From the other angle, it looked like Cam hit him in the shoulder / chest area.
Yeah,
and
that was hand fighting, man.
But what? I mean, Cam's his jersey's getting ripped off of his body.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And just for a minute, I hate to go back to the other game.
But yeah, y'all don't want to be that guy, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I'll get started. No, look, the play where the guy got blocked in the back on a punt into, it was a Falcon.
Yes, I remember that play.
Yeah.
He gets blocked in the back. He's stumbling forward and hits the guy with the top of his helmet because he's falling. All right, they even call a penalty on the Tampa player for blocking him in the back and then turn around and give the guy a penalty for hitting him with his helmet. There was nothing else the guy could do. I mean, it's like, you know, if you get blocked into the kicker, they don't throw the flag. So why are they throwing the flag? You just got blocked in the – I don't know. I can't with the officials anymore, man.
Well, the irony in that Heath, is that you're right. If you get blocked into the kicker – or in other situations where you're blocked, it's generally kind of like, hey, no holds bar after that. It's not your fault. And that particular situation was, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the thing about it is, you know, like in most conspiracy theories, you know, the whole conspiracy includes a bunch of other people. But like back to that Tampa Bay first down thing, they show the video of the referee like literally sliding the ball like 6 or 8 inches forward. and even the announcer's like, look right there, right? Look what he's doing. And they're just like, a mafia style. I don't care if you see me. You didn't see what you just saw. They just do it anyway.
Even with moving the ball, when they showed the shot of the chains, it looked like it was half inch short anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the announcer goes, I guess that yellow line's not really isn't accurate.
Right. So
he says it afterward.
The chain gang, apparently.
Now the thing about
official.
It is.
He goes, we always talk about that yellow line really isn't official.
But you know, the yellow line's not official, but let me ask you guys this. Have you ever seen it be inaccurate?
No, the never. Yellow line was exactly in the right spot. You could tell by the number, the zero on the yard line. Like, there was no way he got anywhere near. It was at least a half a yard short, you know. And it's like, for God's sake, man. I mean, yeah. But if you're making a bang-bang call in the old days before replay and all, you go, you're not going to get them all right, okay? Nobody likes it, but nobody's perfect and all. But you have the opportunity to watch it from multiple angles in super slow-mo. And you're talking with somebody else in the headquarters that's looking at it and everything, and you still get it wrong. And it's like, this just can't happen in an enterprise like the NFL, man. This ain't peewee football. This is billions upon billions upon billions of dollars.
Like, I feel like this is digressed into a bitch session, but what about Drew Brees drops back to pass, Cooks goes, runs, and stops his route, and Brees throws the ball downfield, gets called for intentional grounding.
Yeah.
Listen, as I was watching the game again this morning, I didn't even remember this, but there was a play where Henderson drove his man right into right into Mahomes, and Mahomes launches it downfield. Nobody anywhere, even in the screen, nothing. And that's the part that drives me crazy, is that when you get called for the exact same thing the other team didn't get called for, it's hard to deal with. And
then the other side of it, which drives me just as insane, is missing throwing a flag. We get third down. One of our receivers gets wiped out by a safety. They throw the flag, and then they come back. There's no penalty for that.
Why is
there a yellow flag on the field? If there's no penalty, I mean, they didn't even group together. They just, like, just changed their mind.
Yeah. Yes, that is here's the irony in it. Let's see if I have it here. Let's see if I can get this. I don't know if you could hear that, but as I listen, I don't feel like I have all the equipment to do the very best high tech capture of video, and yet I use my phone on my iPad. But when that guy did it, I'm like, that's going to be my new meme, is just the referee walking up. There is no penalty for pass interference. Fourth down. Yeah. So yes, very aware of that. All right. Before we start talking about our families and problems with our relationships, let's close it out here. Heath, I'll start with you. Kind of give me a big picture, you know, spend a minute giving a big picture where we're at. We have two games left. We're a little banged up. You know, we're trying to manage this roster into the playoffs. What are you thinking about everything right now?
I think you pretty well just summed it up.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Oh, I'm sorry, guy.
No, I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, we got a bad taste in our mouth right now, right? We have two losses in a row. And to some extent, both of them, you know, they were ugly, right? In one way or another. And, I think next week, you know, look, I hate Minnesota and it, you know, but I think the Saints will play a lot better next week. Drew Brees will have a whole nother week of practice. They were just out of sync. He was, between the fact that he hasn't been playing and the fact that he had a bunch of guys on the field that he's not normally throwing to on a regular basis anyway, there was some timing and sync issues going on yesterday, some rust on Brees. I think he'll, you know, on the flip side, the positive is the defense got to be feeling really good about themselves, right? I mean, they pulled it back together. They're going to go into the game with some momentum. I think the offense will play better. We should be able to beat both Minnesota and Carolina. Carolina is not a very good team at all. In fact, I see now they're mocking the BYU quarterback to Carolina to replace Teddy Bridgewater already. Huh. All the experts. But, you know, we should be able to win both of those games and hold on to where we are and get into the playoffs and then get our guys back, man. We get, you know, we missing, you know, Thomas, you know, Harris, he's important, man. He makes a big difference on special teams, you know. And he was starting to really become an integral part of the offense with a few things that he could do on offense that I was excited about. So it's not just Thomas. Some other people we need to get back. I was encouraged yesterday to see Rankins play really well.
Yes.
You know, he was another guy with the injuries and just kind of not, you know, he popped a lot yesterday, and that was good to see. Just really, I'm excited about the rotation that we have on the defensive line, man. I mean, we got a bunch of really good players on the defensive line. And they should be able to keep us in just about anything just by the fact that we can rotate. I mean, when you can rotate guys in and keep fresh legs on a defensive line like you do with running backs and all, that's a hell of a position to be in on it, you know. And we can do that. Granderson, man. Granderson's progression is looking really good. He did a hell of a job taking over for Cam Jordan yesterday primarily. So I don't know, man. As bad as it's looked over the last couple of weeks, there's a lot to be positive about with this team. They are a really good team. We just don't have all of the pieces together right now. And it always sucks when you got everybody talking, boy, the Saints are gelling at the right time of the year. This is the best team in the NFL. And then you have two stinkers like Philadelphia and yesterday. And then all of a sudden, you know, like you said, everybody's off the bandwagon. We feeling bad. The experts have done forgot about the Saints already. And they'll get it back together, you know.
You know what? Maybe this is a good thing. Last year we went into the playoffs thinking that we were – right now we're – you know, hey, here's that crisis that Coach Payton's always talking about. And one thing before I go to Wesley with the same question is, I think any other team that's not Mahomes with all those playmakers on offense, we probably force a couple of, if not two or three turnovers yesterday. If we were playing an average quarterback, like, you know, like the kid in Minnesota or the kid in Bridgewater, you know, I think that we will find some short fields here in the next 2 weeks. While I'm a little concerned about our offense till we get healthy, I do believe that that defense would have been good for a couple of turnovers yesterday. The way they were swarming the ball, the way that the defensive line was getting after the quarterback. Same question to you, Wesley. Give me kind of your state of the union right now going into the last 2 weeks of the season.
So I preface this by saying I take for granted that we're going to win at least one of the last two games of the season just by being way more talented than both the teams we play. Winning one of those two games is going to give us the second seed in the playoffs. Having said that, these next two games are really our preseason for the playoffs. We've got our people that are trying to get healthy so they can be back for the playoffs. We've got some kinks that we need to work out, but we really need to keep everybody healthy, work on Breeze getting better, and just getting Michael Thomas back. Again, I look at these as two preseason games.
The person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
I love this podcast, oh boy, don't waste time.